Welcome to the Hunter's Advantage Podcast, where a group of budget-minded hunters scour the woods for whitetail bucks and whatever other big game is in season. Tune in each week to hear the hilarious public and private land hunting stories and mistake-filled lessons learned. We believe that every hunt brings us closer to God and that we exist to share the good news. And now, your hosts, Christian Babcock and Jake Gaylord.
Listen, guys, we wouldn't be able to do the podcast if it wasn't for you all. So we just want to say that you guys are greatly appreciated, and thank you for following along each week.
And speaking of support, we are partnered with Out on a Limb Manufacturing, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, Matt and Chase are great down-to-earth guys, and they make some of the best saddle hunting products out there. Whether you're looking for a set of climbing sticks or a mobile, lightweight hang-on tree stand, or maybe you're even a one-sticker,
you mean tree Pilates?
Yes, tree Pilates. If you've been to the grocery store or the gas station lately, you know that Uncle Joe is doing his absolute worst to take all your money. That's why we need hunting gear that lasts year after year. And trust me, I've been rocking the same Out on a Limb Shikar climbing sticks for 4 years and the Ridge Runner 2.0 saddle hunting platform for a few years as well. This gear is built to last.
We can confidently say that Out on a Limb is the best bang for your buck.
And it's the best gear if you want to deflate a big old buck.
Ooh. Make sure you use code HNTA15 at outonalimbmfg.com for 15% off anything on their website.
So if you can show them the same support that you guys show us, please go to outonalimbmfg.com and use code HNTA15 for 15% off at checkout. Now let's get back to the podcast. Everybody, welcome back to the live bi-weekly live podcast we do with Outdoor Defiance. So if you guys haven't tuned in the last five or six one of these that we've done, basically what we do is people drop questions and topics into the comments on whatever social media platform you're listening on, and we go through them. So make sure to drop questions and comments. If they're coming through on Instagram, we don't see them all the time through StreamYard, but we're clicking back and forth and trying to answer some of them. So We've already got some coming in, but before we get into that, Taylor, how's your week going, buddy? You ready to go?
It's going slow, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Good so far. I mean,
it's better because it's live night. I mean, come on.
Favorite podcast of the week, some would say. Maybe of the month. Let's get into some of these. So Dylan MX underscore 6969 said, what is the best place to look for sheds? That's an interesting one.
Yeah, you go ahead. You're the shed master.
I don't really like to brag, but I have found 12 this year. It's kind of a great year. It's funny. I haven't really done a ton of shed hunting until like the last two or three years, but I really like to look in bedding areas. Postseason, it's like, I like looking in the thickest, nastiest, anything, any transition from bed to food. Like, I like looking on stuff that has really really low-hanging branches. So things that are like 3-4 feet off the ground with a bunch of branches. Like, I like anything an antler can knock off on. So,
well, can you show us real quick what you meant by branches again? I wasn't looking.
Oh. 2 inches of branch right there. Bedding areas, thick spots, transitions between bed to food, anything like that. I really like looking in those sort of areas. So, and I typically have some good success. I don't know. I'm averaging this year, I think, like half a shed a mile, like a shed every 2 miles. So, if you walk enough, you'll find one.
Yeah. If you don't get enough volume, if you don't find enough, you got to keep getting more volume. That's what it is in the sales world, right?
Exactly. Yeah. More leads.
I kind of the same thing he said. If you look in the thick area, it's kind of like, I like to, a way to cover a lot of ground real fast is like, food plots or wheat fields. Especially if they, this time of year, they shouldn't be near as tall, but if it's pretty good shed, it still should kind of be sticking out. But, it's really easy to see them, especially if you, I don't do this, but I know people that do. If you ride a horse, you can really pick them out easy because they're white on the green field. Fence lines, I like crossings. But other than that, what Christian said, if you find something, the low dangling limbs and all that, that's kind of theory behind that, to get their rack kind of hung up in it and and knock it off. So definitely bedding areas, crossings, anything where they'd be putting their head up and down real fast. You know, like that's why I said wheat fields and stuff like that. So,
or you can take a giant thing of a barbed wire, put it by your feeder, and then continue to feed the whole summer, and you'll find some shit. Yeah. A little shed trap action.
Yeah, you'll find some sheds, and you won't find them next year.
Yeah, I haven't done any of that, but I've heard of people doing it.
Whatever. I saw your video on it.
Come on now, how to do a shed trap and not get caught? Dylan asked a follow up question. What is your favorite Ohio county to hunt? I hunt with Midwest Pursuit, so he hunts with my buddy Gabe Foley. What is my favorite Ohio county to hunt? Me and Ohio don't get along. I didn't do any good in Ohio, so I honestly don't know. I don't even know what the counties I was hunting in Ohio were, to be honest.
My favorite had to be somewhere between the north, east, south, and west border. Somewhere in there. It's pretty good area in Ohio to hunt.
Where'd CJ kill his buck? Clinton County? Yeah, that's my favorite county to hunt.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Allegedly.
Hey, I don't know if my screen. Give me a little moment here.
Oh.
A little newbie action going on.
There we go. What did you have to end up getting for your camera for it to work on live? Did you have to get a capture card?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How much was a capture card?
Oh, it was only $17.
Oh, only that's easy.
Only three payments of $20.99.
Yeah. Only a whole day's worth of work.
Yeah.
715 Outdoor Nation said, howdy, gentlemen. How's it going?
Howdy,
man?
Partner.
Howdy. It really sucks that the comments from the Instagram don't come through the actual chat. StreamYard should get on this right now.
Yeah, StreamYard, I know you're on here listening because we have to be one of the biggest lives going on right now. Yes. Step it up.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you.
That's great.
So what have you been up to, man, before we get some... while people are still jumping on. You went and did spoonbill fishing trip recently for the...
Yeah, it's hard for him, but man, I can't find him. No, yeah, I went and did a spoonbill snagging trip with Operation Freedom Outdoors. If you guys are listening, you're a fireman or first responder or you're a veteran, Operation Freedom Outdoors, check them out on Facebook. And you send some information in and you're put in for any hunt or any fishing trip they have in Oklahoma. And they do some out-of-state stuff. So definitely check that out because that's definitely a good way to for us or for them. Me and Gunnar get to go help them a lot, but it's a good way to a small way for some people to say thank you for your service. So definitely check them out. Operation Freedom Outdoors.
Did you guys catch any? You caught like what, 40-something when you went?
Yeah, right under 60. We caught like 54.
What was the big one?
So the guy that won the poll, we didn't get to go to the Keystone. That's kind of where they catch their bigger ones. We went to a different place, and there's not a lot of big ones there, but quantity. So we caught an 80, which is still giant, but
it's an 80.
Yeah, everyone's like, it's not 100, and I'm like, I mean, not everyone, but it's funny seeing people like, oh, just an 80. I'm like, dude, that's a giant fish.
Just an 80. Yeah, you guys are, you know, starting to get going.
Yeah.
No, here's a good one. I think this came from y'all's Facebook.
Yeah, it's my boy.
For people listening on audio, who is this and what did he say?
Oh, sorry.
Some people don't have the eyes to see.
Yeah, William Bode said, good evening, gentlemen.
What up, so, man? Good evening. Good evening, my friend.
He's been stacking some hogs up with his thermal.
Yeah, heck yeah.
What type of cup is that, dude?
Dude, it's a Cabo Bob's Burritos cup. I like going places. Well, it is. It's because I have massive hands. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, it runs in the family, dude. I actually have really small hands.
Me too.
It's annoying. 715 Outdoor Nation said, hunting and fishing, catching ducks. Maybe that's what catching ducks. Don't do many duck catching. That's sick, though.
That's a cool talent.
Yeah. Heck yeah, they're land. He's like, come here, motherfucker. Gets one off the water.
Maybe he just goes down with like a wetsuit and waits when he sees their feet, picks up the bands, pulls them under the water.
Oh, dude. When we would duck hunt in the ice, and I would watch like ducks get shot and then like dive under the ice to try to get away. It would make me so sad. Like they'd disappear forever. Oh, I hate that crap.
Did you know some ducks will drown themselves?
On purpose?
Yeah, they'll go down and you haven't read into this. If they're wounded, they'll go down and drown themselves.
Like you're not gonna eat me.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a few. Okay. Oh, William said killed a few more Friday night. Heck yeah. I'm laying into him.
Sorry, I'm sharing our.
You're good. Dylan MX69 said, I'm not trying to crowd you with questions, but do you ever small game hunt?
Yeah.
That's actually, what do you small game hunt for?
My buddy has some beagles. We'll go run rabbits here in Oklahoma. That's pretty fun watching those dogs work. Anything you hunt and watching dogs work is awesome. I mean, I think coyotes are considered.
Is that considered small game? Yeah, they're not big game, so they have to be small game.
They're medium game. So no, I do a lot of predator hunting. I had to take out the HA boys this year and carry them and do this.
You didn't carry me. I wasn't hunting. Can't carry a guy who's not hunting.
I'm just got out of physical therapy for that tournament because man, that wore my back out carrying that team. But no, I do a lot of predator hunting. Do some rabbit hunting. I do occasionally squirrel hunting, but I'm not like the avid squirrel hunter, I guess.
No. I'll tell you, on years that we get a lot of snow, I really do enjoy rabbit hunting, like walking through briars and crap and just seeing them just skirt around. Oh, I love rabbit hunting. It's really, really fun, but I'll only do it when it snows. So there's some years that it doesn't even snow, so you don't get to do it. Squirrel hunting, don't do a ton of that. Coyote hunting is really fun. Predator hunting is fun, but being down here in Texas, I don't get to do a whole much of anything except big game hunt.
I hate Texas. Oh.
You know, hold them. Hey. Me and Laura got those lines down. So I know we got a few stacking up here from Facebook and stuff. Let's do this last one on Instagram because it's the last one we got. JC Mauk. I actually met this guy at Total Archer Challenge 11. He said, what's y'all's favorite state to hunt besides Oklahoma, looking to make a trip out of state next year? Interesting. What's your favorite? I think Taylor's is Nebraska. Every time we're talking, he will not quit talking about Nebraska, the way he loves it, the inches that he killed there, and how the residents love him for the size of the buck he shot. Is yours Nebraska?
Yeah, I'd have to be a close last place, definitely. But first place, I don't know. I've only ever traveled to Colorado to turkey hunt, and then Nebraska for mule deer / whitetail. Colorado, I don't know. I've always loved Colorado. I love the state, I love the layout of the state. I really don't like some other stuff there political wise, but that doesn't matter. That's not what this is about. But Colorado has, I don't know, it's probably up there, my favorite, even though I've only been there once to hunt. But I'm also very attracted to Ohio and Illinois. Like, I mean, you go look on YouTube and type in big buck. You're looking at a lot of Ohio deer, and that speaks to my heart.
Yeah, I've heard there's some big bucks in the Midwest. He said, looking to make an out of state trip next year. Man, I think first out of state trip, I'd choose you a border state. You know,
Nebraska.
Yeah.
You'll learn a lot.
Yeah. God, is there not a deer in any of this grass? Where are they? Yeah. No.
What's Kansas, your favorite state?
I like Kansas. I mean, but you know, it's not a low hanging fruit for people that aren't willing to put into the draw, and it's expensive. But a Missouri would be fun. Heck, Arkansas is pretty close. I would say Texas, but the public land access issues is going to follow you down south. So,
right.
And yeah. I'd probably pick a border state for your first out of state hunt. I like Kansas, but I have limited experience. I've hunted Ohio, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas.
It's also, if you're an avid, you know, archer, or, you know, what you're wanting to do, if you want to go muzzleloader, rifle, or your bow, I mean, you got to kind of consider that too in your decision.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of over counter rifle or muzzleloader states. Nebraska is.
Yeah. And there's a reason. They're like, give us your money. We'll take it.
I'll give you $5 if you can say his last name right.
Oh, I can't. Kyle Ford Outdoors said, "What's up, fellas? What's up, man?
What's up, Kyle Ford?"
I literally just messed me up trying to read Zach's last name again. Yeah. Sal Martin, St. Martin the Second. That is even more of a tongue twister. I'm looking.
I've been writing that on the check every time.
my hand hurts, honey. It's crazy. I'm looking into sitting longer this year, longer than 4 hours, as an extended sit for me, especially during the rut. But I have a problem with sitting longer, mainly getting home to my 4 kids and wife. Yeah, I see that one. What are some tips you guys have for sitting longer, and what's your favorite snack to bring? Yeah, that's a pretty good question.
Oh, Little Debbie's. Come on now. I can't get around it.
Little Debbie's?
No, I like a good peanut butter cracker.
Jerky's always good. I live on Red Bulls during Red Bulls or Reigns or energy drinks. I always bring like 2 or 3 of those.
You might want to take this wall down in front of us for a second.
This wall?
Yeah.
Dude, it's a long. That's a big question. Long one. I like jerky, crackers, anything like that.
The only thing I don't like about crackers is how loud they are.
Dude, any Little Debbie wrapper, though, like the Star Crunch one, I love those. It's like...
Yeah, I always put them out. Or I always take them out and put them in a Ziploc baggie.
You're smart. Smart man.
Or I get my acorn cruncher, and I open it so they think a deer is chewing on some plastic.
Acorn cruncher.
Man, that's great. I still laugh about that. So we still got some of his question to answer.
So any tips for sitting longer?
You just got to do it. There's no way around it. If you want to sit longer, you got to do it. There's tip-wise, you make sure you have a comfy setup, whether that be a saddle or stand. I'm a stand guy. I haven't switched yet, but I have a couple of the Helium. I forget what they're called, but they have a really nice seat in them, and that makes it real easy for me. Also, since my back deal, I have to stand every now and then, so the big platform where I don't act when I stand up, I feel like some of those stands have smaller platforms. So you stand up and you kind of move around and you almost feel like you're going to fall off. But definitely make sure you got a comfy setup that's meant to stay all day. If you just have a stand that has a metal seat, you're probably going to get sore in the booty area. And then if you're not seeing deer, don't give up, because, you know, it just takes one. That's what I always tell myself. You know, if I'm not seeing anything, I'm like, okay, it just takes one to come out. So,
yeah.
So snacks, comfy setup.
That's it right there. I did my first all day sit this last year in a saddle, and it was raining the entire day. But I brought my rain gear, and I just sat here like this for like 10 hours. And I was like, oh, there's 200 inch deer in here. You got to stay in here. And I did the whole time. But man, getting something that you can, like you said, maybe a bigger platform on a tree stand, something that you can move your feet position and something you can stand up in, like even if it's turning to the tree and putting one knee on the seat to let that foot rest for 10 minutes and switching, like moving positions is what keeps me from getting worn out in the tree. So in a saddle, like you can lean on different parts of your feet. You could get up next to the tree and like take your feet off the platform for a minute. You know, there's a lot of different ways, but like you said, after 3 or 4 hours, dude, it just wears on you.
Yeah.
You just gotta be in a good spot.
Absolutely. And another thing I've done before, if I know I'm gonna sit for a while, I'll take my AirPods in and I just pop one in and listen to some music or listen to a podcast. And if that one starts to die, I put it into charge, put the other one in. So I do that if it's going to be extended time. But I don't really stay out there a lot. A lot of my places aren't set up for that. But I do have 2 or 3 setups that are more all-day sets. And when I do that, I definitely make sure I have the old AirPods. And another thing I do, I didn't think about this one till now, is I also make sure I wear the clothes. So it usually gets a little warmer in Oklahoma. So I make sure I have enough layers I can take off and be quiet about it. So that's another good point, dude.
The AirPods is a really good one. When I shot that buck with my recurve on that draw hunt, I was listening to like a Wired to Hunt podcast in one ear. I wear one AirPod in the middle, especially in the middle of the part of the day when like you're starting to be like, man, I want to get down. it's better to be in the tree half listening, but still in the tree than back at home. Like, that's how I think about it. Whatever you have to do to, to be in the tree.
You see that little smirky comment down there?
Think of all the house chores you have to do when you get home. That keeps Taylor in the stand, I'm sure. That's awesome.
That's a good way.
So JC Moe, his last name is spelled M-E-A-U-X. I'm really bad with Cajun names. He said it's pronounced Moe, but thanks for your guys' opinion. He was talking about the out-of-state thing. Yeah, for sure. Oh, we got some nice questions rolling in. Let's work through some of these. William said, the rabbit population is thriving this year. Seen tons this year with thermal.
Hey, you know what that means? More predators in the next couple of years.
How do you pronounce this? How do you pronounce Zach's last name? Gajowski. There we go.
What's up, Zach?
Thanks for jumping in, dude.
Yeah, he's always on here. One of the OGs. And the other
OGs. Mr. Sweet Potato himself.
Yay! That was the fastest I've ever eaten in my entire life. Let me tell you something.
I haven't even ate all day.
I haven't either. That's why I was so adamant. I got to eat something. I was about to pass out.
I just fast on these live days. It really helps. The mental focus.
Get you ready for Kansas.
You missed it. We got some good questions coming in.
Okay, so reworded it. Sorry, question sitting longer. Okay, he's talking about sitting longer during the rut. Yeah, same things apply. AirPods and a good tree stand.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach said, do you put out cameras on scrapes that were made last season where you saw action on camera? I'm not sure if it's a community scrape. That's interesting. What do you guys think on that one?
Yeah, I always put out, I'll even go rework it and put some bottled pee on it. And I always have good luck with that. So yeah, I definitely always do that. Like I've said before, a lot of times I'll have cameras on food sourcing, nothing's coming in, and then boom. I read another comment. Then boom, you know, something will pop up working a scrape, and it's saved me multiple times from going, oh, I don't have anything to, whoa. So definitely run cameras on scrapes during rut. I mean, if you guys had 2 or 3 weeks to do their thing, I mean, you would not worry about food either.
Yeah. What about you, Gunner? Do you guys run, cameras on scrapes?
We do. It's not as heavy. I'm going to ramp it up a little bit this year at one of our leases just because I have a deer that I really, really want to harvest next year. So I'm going to really put the time in. But
is it one by me?
Yeah, I think I'm going to ramp that up. This one just happens to not be. Actually, it's the new place we picked up.
I know what it is. I know which one it is.
Yeah.
I know you're aiming for.
Yeah, that's the one I definitely want to find, locate next year. But
I got to say, if our deer survived this year, we got some hammers that are going to be around next year. Yep. And all of them are going to be around Cottonwood Creek WMA, if you guys want to go there and try to find some of these deer. So
it'd stop.
That's where you should look. Stop it. There's a lot of ducks there to harvest.
I don't run a ton of cameras on scrapes, mainly because my private that I get to hunt is 6 hours from my house. So when a new scrape pops up, I'm not going up there 12 hours round trip to put a camera over a scrape. So
well, you should.
Well, I should. I also lean to the side of like limiting intrusion. So if there is some big community scrapes that are there year after year, and I've put some cameras on those in the past, but I don't really run a ton of cameras over scrapes.
Well, yeah, you don't got to worry about it. You're usually tagged out before rut gets here in Oklahoma. So,
what is sponsored the scrape?
Snapple.
Sponsored by Snapple. Stanley. Here's a good one. What's your mobile hunting setup if you have one? I hybrid hunt. Zach John said this. I hybrid hunt XOP retrograde tree stand on a Mondo saddle. I hunt facing the tree, but I can sit if need be. Oh, he uses a tree stand and a saddle. Okay, that's interesting. Like a big platform and a saddle. You guys got a? Do you guys have a mobile setup?
Not really. I mean, I have a light hang-on stand that I'll carry around and some hockey lamp steps, but I've never really had to go mobile. I mean, on public, I usually carry. I mean, it's probably 6-7 pounds. So I probably should get something lighter, maybe go saddle, but I don't really have a mobile setup, just straight for mobile. But when I do need it, I do have this one hang on stand. So
I have a hockey.
Most mobile setup? Lamborghinis, baby. Nothing on the back. Just that's the best mobile setup out there right there.
Lamborghinis and a cedar tree.
Yeah. What were you saying, Gunner?
I just recently got a mobile setup, kind of. It's a Hawk Helium with the sticks. And that's what I ran when I went to Kansas. I did that, and then I went, you know, Lamborghinis, as you said, there. But that's about the only one that I have now. I will probably try to invest in a saddle just for to have it in my arsenal, if that makes sense.
So yeah, it's not a cheap investment, I can tell you that. It's like I think that's the reason that keeps a lot of people out of saddle hunting is the $600-$700 you got to put in. But we do a lot of public land hunting in like places that saddles are awesome to use. So we run I run an Out on a Limb, the Shikar sticks, and then the Ridge Runner 2.0 platform, which like it's a little bit heavier of a platform, but it has a little bit bigger space, like you were talking about, Taylor, which I think I'd rather carry in a pound or two more and have a lot bigger room for my feet. Like there's some micro saddle platforms that like are that big. And I'm like no.
My big toe is going to go on it.
You could put like 1 foot sideways and just hang off that way. And I'm not interested in that at all. So by the way, if people want to save money, Out on a Limb, HNTA. 15% off. And then I run a cruiser saddle. So I think I'm going to switch that up this year.
We're doing shout outs, huh?
Well, when we get to killing something, you guys can talk about like a knife or, you know, that sort of stuff. Oh, it's in the background. you ain't slick. You ain't slick.
He said knife, bad word.
Yeah. It's a sharp, it's a letter opener, dude. Facebook will kick your. The blue F will kick you off, bro.
Kyle Ford Outdoors said youth turkey season starts next weekend in Iowa. I got a spot for you boys next year if you're bored. Well, Gunner's the only one in here that's youth, but are you interested in that?
I wish I was still youth.
Wish
I was still youth.
Straight up. Okay.
How old are you? Okay. How old are you, Christian?
I'm 27.
You're old.
Dude, Taylor's like 48 years old. Oh, you're only 23?
Yeah.
Dude, oh my gosh. I thought you were 18. That's sick.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Did you guys see that Oklahoma raised the youth to like 18?
Yeah.
I could have used those extra 2 years, dude. That would have helped. Kidding.
Yeah, hey, I'm always bored, so hit us up.
Yeah.
Sorry, get away from that question.
For real. I would love to spend a weekend in Iowa.
That must be boring.
He said, I thought that was his leftover dinner, not a mustache. That's a Gunner.
Right here. Yeah.
JC.
It's not just a mustache. It's got a little bit of... I need to shave it is what needs to happen.
Who said that?
Kyle Ford said that. JC Moe said, one more question. How many years did you put in for that special hunt? I've put in for 3 years. I lived there and haven't drawn. I think it took me 5 years to draw out for that recurve hunt. So if anyone has like 5 to 10 points that they want to put in as a group, I'm interested in helping. Gunner, how many deer points do you got in Oklahoma?
A lot.
Sweet. You want to do a hunt this year?
Where are you talking McAllister?
Whoa! Beep. Oh, dang, my thing didn't work. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, we're planning on putting in for that. So, maybe.
How many people you got in your group?
I think only me and Dad are the only ones that are learning how to shoot. So,
I put in with 0 points and get to go again. I'm like,
I've got probably close to 6 points.
I cashed in this year. It's worth it.
I cashed in my first year and it wasn't worth it.
Brian Dutcher said, how many calls do you use while deer hunting? Well, Taylor loves the acorn crusher. So that's his number one call.
Don't bleat, baby.
Oh, jeez. No, I just have a grunt. And then sometimes I'll take a set of rattling horns if it's that time of year.
Like, yeah. Do you just use your Dokkan, Gunner?
No, I'll grunt and I'll snort wheeze. Rattle a little bit. But man, let me tell you something. I've turned some deer on that old can, baby.
Dude, we used the can a ton growing up. Like, yeah, the can put in some work.
I've seen it work. I've seen it not work. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. But I've definitely seen it work. One of the deer I killed in the last couple of years, he was walking off the field and I turned him with it, like on a dime, and he went right into me. So I don't know. Could have been luck, which would make sense with me as well.
Yeah.
There Jim Shockey was behind me hitting the dough can. And here they came.
You hit the sheep bleat.
Yeah, the sheep bleat. They heard it from the Yukon and they turned. That's funny. Now I will hold air. I'll bring a grunt call to the woods, but I rarely use it unless it's like in a dire situation. I've grunted at a ton of deer to watch them basically just walk away and not even acknowledge it, which pissed me off.
Oh, I got a video of that. It's heartbreaking.
Dude, there was one on public I grunted at. I was like, and he's like, and just walked to the rest like, no.
I want you here.
That happens a lot. Okay. So Zach said, you said it right. Heck yeah, boys. I'm looking forward to this.
It only took us 8 weeks and we got it this week. Wait, Gunner, can you say it?
Say what?
His last name.
Oh, no. No, I don't. Okay. No.
Try it.
I'm not going to try.
Gajewski. Gajewski.
All right. I'd say
Gajewski or something like that. Whenever you guys start talking about it, usually I just kind of, I'm not like listening for like exactly how you're saying it. I'm just kind of, I'm in my own world looking at it, thinking about how it's pronounced. But.
So Zach had a good question. He said, I've been hearing more about hub scrapes. Also, any pointers on finding them?
I'll go ahead, I guess, since I started, but just kind of wherever your deer are, kind of where they're traveling, you might want to go out there and walk that before season. Definitely. Where do you hunt? Texas? I know that.
We can hunt Texas and Oklahoma.
Well, I hunt a lot of oak trees, so the limbs are kind of lower and kind of eye level, so I can see, you know, if they've been twisted, because when they start working those limbs, they'll twist them and take the bark off, and so that kind of will catch your eye, or just dirt ground. So I kind of do that. I kind of go where my deer travel, where I watch my bucks, especially my smaller bucks. They always seem like they hit them just for a second and get out of there. So I kind of, you know, in back of my head, keep where they're going. And then usually don't deer in middle rut, but early season, I'll kind of get in there right before when things start heating up, and I'll work them and put a little scent down. And then after that, they pretty much stay serviced all year round.
Where we hunt in the mountains, you'll see it a lot in those select cuts. So like the places that have got cut and they leave obviously some of the good oaks and some of the pines, you'll see it in those little bitty immature oaks, like the ones that are probably 2, 3, 4 years old, like about 5, 6 foot tall. You'll see a lot of scrapes under those. But I would say, yeah, under oak trees, under very small immature trees, but where we hunt in Southwest Oklahoma, a lot of the trees, like there's a lot of elm, Osage orange, hackberry, stuff like that. So there's a lot, every tree is a great scrape tree, but I'd look for low hanging branches. And like you said, do you think there's common themes on where they put scrapes? To me, it seems like deer are just walking. They're like, this looks good. And they hit one and they're like 10 more yards. This looks good. Hit another one.
Yeah. A lot of mine are where, like, you know, a couple, 2, 3, 4 trails meet up, and it's just a centralized spot is where I find my bigger ones. But yeah, there are some random spots. I have one right behind my stand, and I mean, they have to work to kind of get there, and especially if they're out in front of me. And every time, they'll just disappear, and all of a sudden, they're back there, and I'm like, what? you guys could have made one anywhere you wanted, but you're like, nah, we got to go hit that one, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I have deer sometimes if they want to go straight to it from the food plot, they got to walk up like 3 to 4 foot boulders, and I've had them step up the boulders and go up to it. And I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Working hard.
Make it a point. But I have that one, and then I have one where they come out where that big eye guard buck made a scrape. I mean, they destroy that tree. And then I have a tree that's like 15 yards from me that the smaller guys hit. And it's funny because it's always taller than the smaller ones. So always getting on their back leg, really stretching out. And it's just funny to watch them because they get so mad at it.
What about you, Gunner? You guys, any tips on finding hub scrapes? Where do you find the most of your scrapes?
The edge of our food plots and stuff. We've got one on the field that I killed the state record buck off of that's been there continuously. There's one at the bear right next, like really close to one of our stands. If you're just kind of thinking about, you know, when you can go look for these things, I mean, preseason scouting and postseason scouting is pretty good too. You can postseason scout and have an idea too, about like finding new scrapes and stuff. I think postseason scouting is really, really a good time to go looking around in the woods for those things. So
I would echo that. It's a great place to find, great time to find scrapes. You're going to struggle to do it now this late in the postseason because, dude, the green up, I don't know about you guys, it is insane here in Texas. Like, dude, the grass like hip high now. 2 weeks ago, it wasn't even there. So I agree with you. We had some funny ones on Instagram. Thomas Byrne said, ha ha ha. So that's where y'all hunt. I don't know. That's where I don't hunt, at that place Gunner talked about. That's not where I hunt.
Where are you talking about? Cottonwood? Yeah,
where did I talk about?
I think you said Cottonwood.
Yeah, the recurve place.
Oh yeah, Cottonwood. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to drop that, but
you should. I heard you should sneak in there.
You don't even have to sneak.
Yeah. Or did you just go with just announce your presence?
Kyle Ford Outdoors said, I'm kidding. I love that turkey video you guys posted. I talked to the HA boys last episode. You guys could have some fun this way. Yeah, he liked y'all's turkey video you put out.
Awesome. Thanks for watching. Definitely kind of a crazy story. So we that hunt was kind of, we didn't use a lot of calls, and we just let it kind of happen naturally because we had to try something different because we hunted those birds for 20 days. So,
yikes.
So if you want to go check it out, Outdoor Defiance YouTube.
Check it out. Good turkey hunting video.
Just subscribe, and then if you feel sorry, go to HA. Hey, just kidding.
If you're really hurting for content, go to our cousin.
Did you show them the video?
No. That's your video. I was waiting for you.
Uh-oh. Okay. Do I want
to y'all edit something for me?
He did.
Do we want me to send both of them or just the one?
Can you hit present? Oh no, it's not on your computer.
No, dude, I'm gonna kick Gunner off this live right quick.
I can see present.
Try it.
But yeah, but is it on your the text? Is the video on your computer?
Oh no, you're right. It's not. I could probably get it on there. No, I'll just send it.
All right, let's talk about this. I'm always pulling up the video.
Disrespect.
Devin Craig said 120s for the rest of your life or 1 200-incher? If you could shoot one buck the rest of your life, would you shoot a 200 and be done?
That's a good question. Like I was saying, I'd have to just hunt and shoot the 200. Or like you're saying, like 200 and done.
Yeah, 200 and done. I mean, 120s for the rest of your life or 1 200?
Well, I mean, jokes on y'all. I could probably spend my whole life trying to shoot a 200. So
I would take 120s for the rest of your life. I mean, shooting deer is too fun not to do every single year. Like,
it's 200. I mean, come on, dude. That's like, I mean, that's
like your pinnacle.
Ring. That's like your ring in NFL, and that's your end goal. But
I don't know. I guess if you shot a 200. You could always move on to a different species. Be like, I'm a mule deer hunter now. I hunt elk now. I don't know. It depends how old you are. At 20 years, 25, 27, 28, no. I would not do 1 200 and then.
But I don't know. Is like 1 200 next year and be done? Or I guess I'm jumping into a rabbit hole, but I don't know. I'd probably have to do the 120s.
I know, man.
200 inch deer. I mean, Christian, you've been shooting them for 27 years, so what's just
shut the frick up. Trust me, you saw my cabin. I got plenty of 120s on the wall.
No, nothing with the 120. Heck, I got one right there. Maybe he might be a little bigger.
Gunner, one 200 or 120s for the rest of your life.
So let me ask. So I can only kill one more deer the rest of my life, and it's got to be a 200.
Yeah, 1 200 or 120s forever.
And after I kill the 200, I don't get to kill another deer.
No.
I'll go 200. I guess,
yeah, I was I'd have to lean towards 200, but I don't know. It'd be kind of cool if you did 120. You could do like, all right, I'm only going to shoot, try to go after a 6.120. You know what I mean? You could do some.
There's cool some stuff. Challenges there. Yeah.
Or you could shoot the 200 and be like, I'm done. I'm done with deer.
Oh my God. All right. I can't play the audio because it'll give it away. I'm gonna upload it to OneDrive so I can play it. motherfucker. Okay.
I guess another one after that one too.
No, I didn't watch it. I'm gonna send me in both so I can upload them.
Remember.
Okay. Chad Allen Jones got a good question. He said, "Do you use scentlers? If so, what?"
Just buck pee for me on scrapes.
On the boots or scrapes?
Scrapes.
All right.
you guys haven't answered. What are you guys waiting on?
So I use, I'll use doe estrus too a little bit. That
you time of year. Doe estrus in his vape.
No, I'll drag rag some. I love to drag rag and then I do not vape. I love to drag rag.
Definitely vapes.
And then decoy, and then I also use Evercalm sometimes. The wind's weird, so I guess that counts as a scent. Evercalm.
I don't know Evercalm. If I've ever used.
I don't know if it's really worked. I don't know if Evercalm's truly worked or not. I just know I've never gotten busted. So,
dude, my uncle told me that Evercalm scares the crap out of the deer. Mm-hmm. Or at least he's seen it happen at least.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really use any scentlers. Like we used to use drag rags like a sock soaked in dope piss and then tie it around your boot and walk. And I've seen multiple bucks walk up on that. But
so I did that, yeah.
Yeah. I've also seen him walk right to the base of the tree and be like
yeah, I see him up there, sir.
He's up there.
No, a lot of times the way I walk in is where my wind's blowing, so I don't want to walk in dragging in something for him to run up downwind.
That's a good point. Your rifle hunting's a little easier. Okay, you want to play this video?
I sent the other one too, but you can play the first one, yeah.
Okay, let me save this one.
The darn disrespect.
You're doing this on CapCut. You're disrespecting me on a free video editor.
Well, what do you? It's double whammy right there.
Gunner's hurting me 7 to 8 seconds at a time.
He actually said it's for Jake, but Jake's not on here.
Oh, don't take this back now.
I didn't take anything back. I didn't do it.
All right, here we go.
I was like, okay. Literally, okay.
Okay, so I got both of these. Here's the first one. Let me see if I can present. All right, let's do video file. Downloads. Okay, here we go. Hey guys, I did want to mention that my friends over at Exodus just launched an awesome new SD camera, the Exodus 4K Lift Ultra. This is anything but a standard SD camera. It offers 4K video at 30 frames per second with audio. It has dual lens with dedicated nighttime and daytime image sensors. And one of the things that I think makes this camera really unique is it offers rechargeable 18650 batteries. The camera also has a 2-inch LCD screen, so you never have to worry if it's pointed in the right direction or your camera sitting looking at the right spot. The Lift series has been the cornerstone of Exodus since they launched it over 9 years ago, and this 4K Ultra is no different. Make sure to use code HA4K to save $50 off the new Lift 4K Ultra at checkout. Once again, if you want to support the podcast and our friends over at Exodus, make sure to use code HA4K for $50 off the new Lyft 4K Ultra at checkout at ExodusOutdoorGear.com. Now let's get back to the podcast.
At the Hunter's Advantage, we live by the KISS slogan.
You were not supposed to tell them that.
No, I meant we like to keep it simple, stupid. All jokes aside, Exodus is the definition of keeping it simple. Let's say you aren't really sure what arrow setup you should run. The Exodus Arrow Builder will help you build the right arrows for your exact setup.
Or if you don't have time to change those trail cam batteries in the dog days of summer, Exodus has a great selection of cell cameras and regular trail cameras. And if you pair them with one of their solar panels, you'll be set for a long while. I've shot over a dozen deer and a big old black bear in Saskatchewan with these arrows, and I trust them to fly right and get the job done. And they have something for everyone with the Exodus NIS micro diameter arrows or the Exodus MMTs.
So if you want to save money on Exodus arrows, cell cameras, or anything else they got on their website, make sure to check out ExodusOutdoorGear.com and use code HA10 for 10% off.
Once again, that's ExodusOutdoorGear.com, and make sure to use code HA10 for 10% off at checkout. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Look at this photograph. Every time
I ever makes me laugh. It probably took Gunnar all day to do this.
No, I did it all in the shower.
It's because it says ha.
Yes.
Dude, this is so stupid.
It's only funny because it says "oh."
How many times did you laugh at this, Gunnar?
A lot. Then I sent it to Taylor, and he's like, "Yes."
Okay, that's it. All right, I got another one.
The other one's not as good, but it's still funny.
Remember the last time you used a public restroom?
So stupid.
Remember the last time you used a public restroom?
Let's make one of those with the crossbow in it.
So this is what we're doing now, huh?
Hey, I didn't do that.
Oh, that hurts my soul.
The HA one's pretty funny.
They're both HA.
I like that one. This is my favorite just because it says haw.
All right. You've created a war that you cannot end.
Let's do one a week.
Okay. All right. We'll do one. We can each bring one a week.
Okay.
No cussing.
No cussing. Yes. Devin Craig said, let's talk decoys. I've used one in the past, had success, but also had a bad experience this year with one. Ooh, decoys. You boys do any decoy hunting?
I don't, but I'm not against it. Of course, you have luck behind it, but I've seen Gunnar have luck behind it, but I've never stuck one out. So, but there's nothing I don't see. I've seen some deer be scared of it, but I've also seen a lot of big deer killed behind one.
Yeah. Gunnar, what's your experience with decoys?
So it's pretty new. So the last couple of years, I really started running decoys. I haven't ran any buck decoys yet. I've just ran doe, and I've drag ragged in and then hung that rag on the back of the doe. So it had scent and everything. It was kind of like I don't know. That's just kind of what I did. But he's just a left of this video. But I killed a pretty nice deer over one a couple years ago at the Bear. I've had good success. That the one of our videos we have dropped, I was running a decoy, and I mean, even if from my experience, even if I didn't get a buck to fully commit, I got him to stop, if that makes sense. So if he's like really cruising through there under me or close to me, I'd always get him to at least stop and check it out. Now sometimes I'd get spooked and kind of, you know, mosey on off. The thing that'll get you is if a doe walks up on it and is like, yeah, I don't know you, I don't like you. And that's when the problems occur. So I usually only run decoys at like peak times. Like I won't even really run it during rifle season. Like I'm running it, you know, peak rut, you know, during bow season, right in there.
Right before you said rifle. You don't like running it during rifle?
I haven't in the past run it during rifle. Not, I mean, one, you have a rifle in your hand, and if, you know, if you're good out to 300 yards, a lot of the places I hunt, you know, I've got a lot of, you know, areas I can shoot pretty far, and I don't necessarily need to entice them in real, real close, but I will run it with my bow for that reason, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I first saw decoys ran with some, but something funny, Taylor. Every time I do it makes me laugh.
Can you make one just for me that has the acorn cruncher in it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for myself.
I've seen decoys ran the first time I saw them was about 3 or 4 years ago. And if you're talking on like pretty unpressured private land, I've seen them work really, really well. Like get blasted and good bucks. I've seen actually two bucks approaching a decoy, and then they are both like walking in together, and then they decide about halfway to the decoy, they're like, no, F you. And they just turn at each other, and they're like, ah, and started going at each other. So I've seen decoys do that, like knockdown drag out fights like that, which was hilarious. And I've seen bucks come up and sniff the decoy, smelling people, and they kind of like take a step back. The buck I shot in Texas this year was over a one-horned Elliott decoy, which was awesome, which he was super like mad. Upset at that decoy. But he also got 3-4 feet from it and smelled us where we had set it out. So bow hunting decoys the right time of the year can be really awesome because it's something to look at, especially if you're hunting like wheat fields. I like big wheat fields, but with a bow, they can be tough, right? Because it's like, oh, he's 100 away. With a rifle, it's a chip shot or a muzzleloader. But with a bow, it's like, no, I need him like 40 and in. So decoys are awesome. But I think the more pressure your places you're hunting, the less likely they'll probably work. Like, I'm not sure if it was something I'd try on public land, but I also don't want to get shot. Yeah,
that's a fair point.
The hunting public does it all the time.
Yeah, they have some good luck too doing it. Yeah, they really do. Here's Devin's follow up. Dang, we lost Gunner. Look, lost Gunner. Said my bad experience with the decoy this year. I had a doe bleat at a really nice buck, and from about 200 yards, he got to about 50 and locked up on the doe decoy and was not having it. He spooked. This was on Halloween night using Evercom and Black Widow deer lures. Doe 200 yards. He got to about 50, locked on the doe coin, was not having it. Yeah, that's interesting. Where are you hunting, Devin? Like, are you hunting a pressured area, or are you hunting public or private? In what state? I'm curious.
I think just send us a pin. We can look at it real good.
Really break down the spot and the wind that he was coming in at.
Yeah. Let us know when you're there and you're not there. That really helps.
Sounds like to me the decoy worked to a certain point, and then, like you said, he may have got up on it and smelled something off or something, but it seemed like from what he just said, it almost worked.
Well, I think you have just likelihood of messing it up with a decoy than you do it going right. But it seems like when it goes right with the decoy, it goes really right. Like it goes great. And then it seems like, so we've also had deer, you see them, like all you see is a head in the brush. They're like, just blowing at it, you're like, no, you haven't got on the field yet.
Yeah,
I've seen that happen too. That's so annoying.
One time we're talking about when you sit all day. One time I was like trying to sit all late, and I was like, I'm done, I'm out of here. It was slow, it got real hot, and I packed all my stuff up, and you're speaking of seeing that face. I get up, throw my backpack on, I take my first step to my ladder stand, I look down in the fence line where a lot of my deer travel, and I just saw the face, just a big old face, and then an outline, and I was like, and he was just staring at me. Never saw that deer again. I don't even know what he was. He was so wide. I sat down. I was like, oh, maybe he's going to come in. But no, he just turned around, dropped his head, and disappeared out of my life.
Just like the smart ones do. You said you got down like a little bit early is what it was?
It wasn't early. It was like 12:30, 12:40.
Oh, it was like in the midday.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything all day. And I was like, I'm going to go grab something to eat and come back. And then I looked and saw that, and I was like, no.
Of course. He's it like, almost happened.
Yeah,
he's I'm like, waiting him out. Taylor's going to get hungry very soon.
Yeah.
He was right. He's like, there's no way he can make it past one. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah. Just
keep looking at your stand.
When he left, he walked so slow. He walked really slow out.
Oh, that's funny. Nathaniel Osborne said, when I get my hat, when I see you next, I got you. Nate, I got you. Devin said, I had the decoy.
Probably out of stock. He's probably out of stock. But however, sure. If you want a hat that doesn't say haw. Has a state record. Had a half of a state record antler on it right here. I mean.
That's sick. I applaud you guys.
Doesn't feel sick.
I had the decoy facing 25 yards away from me, hoping he would circle behind and give me a shot. I think that's the right idea, Devin. I think that's the right idea. Sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sadly, there's still deer. So Zach said, I hunt in Southeast Oklahoma. Any recommendations on finding good food sources? I'm no botanist, so knowing browse is tough. I talked to, what was his name? Marcus Lashley, Dr. Marcus Lashley. He's like, I think it's University of Florida. And I was talking to him about deer diet, and I was like, well, you know, how do you determine what like is what deer eat over one other thing? And he said the thing that he picks out is like readily available food. So like what's there in abundance and something you can like key in on. And he said it's kind of depressing when you really think about a deer's diet because they can like eat over 200 different things of browse. So it's like one day they might want one thing, one day they might want another. And they also use that food as a way to regulate their, they eat food to regulate their own diet, and they like crave different things determined like depending on what they need. So I, in Southeast Oklahoma or in the mountains, I've always found really, really good luck on white oaks and red oaks. So. Those are the two that I would look for, especially when you're in a place that's a sea of pines and cedars and very few oaks. That's what I would look for. Red oaks, white oaks.
Oak trees are definitely like candy to them. So I definitely white oaks, red oaks. I mean, we're in a lot of blackjacks, but if we can find those, you're definitely have a good chance of seeing something. That's what I kind of key in on public too.
Blackjacks?
Yeah. No.
Oh, what'd you say?
Red or white.
Oh, red or white oaks. Yeah.
And is it Chickapin? They're pretty good. And then we got several of them around us. No, I shouldn't say several. We got areas that have them, and I always have found a lot of deer sign. So.
Yeah. We, that breaker buck I shot last year was like, I found that one along a creek that had these red oaks were dropping. Dude, I swear to you, they were 50 cent pieces. Wow. They were huge. I was like, dude, I'm not even a deer, and I'm thinking about eating one of those. Because I'd never seen, because you know the white oaks are little, like they're little bitty suckers, but the red oaks, dude, they're like, you throw one of those, you could hurt a fella.
Blackjacks are tiny.
Red oaks have the point on their leaf. White oaks are smooth. Like there's red oak varieties and there's white oak varieties. So there's, that's the botanist in me. I took a field botany class actually, but I would definitely think about elevation too. What's dropping when you can kind of follow when stuff drops, and that's something that would maybe help you key in on like a certain tree up higher or lower is dropping. I'd key in on like elevation stuff too. That's one thing I'd say.
Well, too, I know the red oaks, at least in Southeast Oklahoma, a lot of the time those will last later in the year. Whereas a lot of those white oaks will rot and there won't be a bunch of those. And also, especially when you have areas that like are very concentrated with oaks, it's like no oaks, none. And there's like a bunch of them in one little area. It's like, it seems like the deer come through and they're like,
yeah,
take it out. And they're like to the next one. And then they all like charge. So if you can find those flats when they're dropping, dude, it can be really
persimmon trees too. I don't. The Southeast have several of those. haven't really heard about that area.
If you look at, it's funny you say that. If you look at the persimmon map, like in the United, like Southeast United States, there's like pockets in Oklahoma in certain places, like little pins of persimmons, like in Southwest Oklahoma, there was a bunch of like little droplets of persimmons, but I haven't really run into any of those in Southeast, like, but maybe
persimmons too.
It's pretty key too, to understand canopy cover too, like how much sunlight can get there, how much more stuff can grow, things like that. Like if you're in a close canopy type forest, there might be less browse than there would be in an open canopy where sunlight can get to the bottom.
That's like a good point. That's a good point too. Looking at a select or a clear cut, that'd be a good place to start stuff with new browse, new growth. Either I'd say like in that 0 to 3 year old range, that'd be a great place to look. We used to hunt a ton of clear cuts, and although they get really big and kind of be daunting to bow hunt, there's always deer in them. Always is. This is a Lane Brumley had a question.
Hey, what's up, Lane?
You take this one, Taylor.
Oh, Lane Brumley said, thoughts on your cheap Walmart/Atwoods deer scents, tinks, code red, etc. effectiveness compared to the higher price, more expensive deer scents out there. I really have an issue. I haven't really bought anything higher priced. I've run a lot of tinks and I've ran some code red. And like I said, the way I use them, I pretty much go out there and try to get some of my major like community, golly, I can't talk, community spread or scrapes. I'll get talking here pretty quick, but get them kind of worked up, and then I just kind of let it be, run a camera on them. And so I don't really order anything expensive. I haven't really tested that theory. However, you know, when it comes to trapping, yeah, I order the more expensive stuff because it's fresher. So it might make a little difference, but I mean, I haven't got, what I've got out of those scents hasn't made me go, I need to try something else. So
what do you think, Gunnar?
I'm in the same boat. I've always had the code red or the code blue or the tinks. And it's,
you guys ever have the code browns out that when you're out there?
Yeah,
I know Taylor has.
They're always on a TP leaf too. It's a really good scent.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Gunner?
I've never had anything. I've like he said, I don't have any data to back whether or not, you know, more expensive stuff might be better or worse. Or I just know that the Walmart stuff has worked for me, you know, in the past. So,
you know, one thing I can see it working, yeah, you know, if you had a big mature buck coming out and you did have like a fresh collected pea, you know, if he smelt that versus what he smells everywhere, it might perk him up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I could see that instance, you know, if he smells it and he's like, that's something new, what's in my area?
Yeah, that's a good point. When I think about scents, like to me, the method of like harvest comes up a lot. Like if I'm bow hunting, I don't really want like a ton of scent. I just feel like that could, when I'm bow hunting, I don't want to be smelled, known, any presence at all. Like I like the Under Armour used to have this super cheesy shirt that had like arrows and it was like strike without warning. You know, it was like some Cameron Haynes thing. But yeah. I believe that with bow hunting, like I don't want to be any smell left, any known at all. I want to be like a silent assassin up in a tree. But with like a rifle or a muzzleloader, honestly, if one comes in, like you're saying, Gunner, trailing a scent rag and they only realize halfway through, like, this isn't real, it doesn't smell right, it's like too late.
Yeah.
You know? But with a bow, it really has to be super believable. I don't use like any scents like that bow hunting, but I would not hesitate to with a rifle. And I don't know if the quality of the scent, you'd like to think it matters a little bit, right? Just like anything. But
I mean, it probably does. Like I said, I mean, every buck probably smells all the tinks and all that. But if you put something new and he's just kind of being locked up and won't come out, if he smells that, he might be like, all right, I got to go see what this is about, because some dude's in here peeing on my area. So, I mean, and that's what I don't use. You've talked about you don't want a lot of scent in, and I just put them on scrapes. But yes, people are going to go, well, you leave scrapes and go in and out. Well, a couple of areas I hunt are heavily traveled by feed trucks because I'm hunting places I have a lot of cattle. So the smell of a truck, the smell of a human is always going to be present no matter where these deer are, including my food plot. So I'm not too worried about that. But if I was hunting, you know, the more public stuff, I don't really use a lot of scents. Because also on public, if you're finding a scrape in some of the areas I hunt, you're probably going to be hunting around people because either someone made that one or someone else knows about it. So I don't really use any there, but definitely on my public, I always make sure I start something up.
You know, the amount of tinks and like orange little tink things hanging from limbs that I see on public and that I see on when I went on that recurve draw hunt, it was like, dude, it seemed like every other tree freaking had one. I was like, how many times has this worked? Definitely hasn't worked 100 times, and I've seen 100 of them. So I think the more that is in the area, the more they're like, no,
that's
that smells the same, and it smells like crap. And I got shot at last time I stopped in the scrape.
You know, the littlest guy out there, the little 11 point, he comes out and he's like,
she was here.
Yeah. He's running through. Yeah. But no, I mean, there could be something behind it getting some, extracted and all that. I mean, I could see some change in areas, so I might do that. I might test it out. I'll do that. I'll put 2 scrapes out on 2 different places and put cameras on. We're gonna do that this year. I'm gonna note it down and put
scientific experiment.
Yep. Welcome to the factory or the lab, boys.
Do one where you just pee in the scrape yourself, and it'll be like
never mind. Sorry, it's gonna be gross. Have you seen where the guys collect their spouses
and they'll like put lady it out? Pee?
Like when going through their time, and they'll collect it. Like there was a whole thing on the Oklahoma hunting page that a guy was doing, and like it was real. It's not like a joke. And I was just like, there is no way I'll be caught doing that.
Collecting their wife's urine during that, the cycle.
Yeah.
And that's when that's supposed to bring big bucks in.
I'm like, my wife sounds like the dang deer, then by God. So
we got my nose had failed me for many years. Dude, there's guys that take
the guy goes in the bedroom and he does like the big bucks do when they come out, and they're like
the lip curl.
I'm letting this down, I don't forget.
There's guys that use the before season to like take down their human scent. They'll take those like charcoal tablets and stuff like that. Anything that requires my wife peeing in a bottle or me taking a pill to deer hunt, I'm not doing it.
No.
Not happening. Unless it's taking trenbolone so I can draw back a 200-pound bow and shoot like 500 feet per second. That's it. That's the only one. You guys want to see something funny?
Look at this photo.
This just came out of my chair.
Hey, try this.
Dude, have you guys seen me go?
Dude. Oh.
Well. Yeah. I'm buying me a new office chair.
I get one like this. Pretty comfy.
That's a king's chair right there. Here's a good one. Zach G said, if y'all shoot a deer or animal with y'all's bow, does it mean more than a rifle?
You take this one, Christian.
Absolutely. I would say so. I mean, blanket statement, does it mean more? I don't think you can just go like, yeah, absolutely. The method determines all of it. Like if there was a buck I was hunting for multiple years and I shot him with a rifle, it would not make it any like not as fun for me. But I think in general, just the intimacy of having deer up close is what makes it fun to shoot with a bow. So big deer up close, that's usually a little more fun
for me. Yeah. Does it mean more? Like you said, I don't know. It makes you work more for usually typically with the bow. But I mean, you say that, but if I harvest a deer with my bow opening day, versus if I'm in a 2-week hunt with my rifle in Alaska and shoot a moose, I'm like, does it mean more? I don't know if it technically means more, but there's definitely times that you've worked harder, and that's that means more, I guess, if you worked harder for it. My opinion, if you have to work harder, it means more versus if it's gifted to you.
I agree.
I concur. I don't know. I haven't shot a deer with my rifle in a couple years. So I've always shot one.
Beat record and then claim that you shot it with your bow.
Yeah. No. It's just
Ohio DNR is at the deer house right now, all the way to Oklahoma.
Probably. They're going to show up in that tank. But no, it just has worked out last couple years. I've shot one with my bow kind of early. And so I've always wanted to save that tag so I can hunt through. One of my goals is to have a tag going into rifle. I like to have a tag going into rifle, at least.
Just in case you have a big boy show up?
Yeah. I mean, if I shoot one early with my bow and I have like a Mondo show up with my muzzleloader, I'm not just going to be upset. I'll harvest the deer, but I don't know. So rifle season is the time I can get my grandpa to really go and my dad really, really goes. I mean, he'll go when he can with his bow because he loves to bow hunt. But that's when I get to really hunt a whole lot with them. That 2 weeks is rifle season, so I really like to have a tag that time. So
that's just I'm with you. Yeah, I don't think it means any less to shoot one with your rifle, but it's just like we've talked about many times in the podcast, different strokes for different folks. There's some people that would gawk at the thought of picking up a bow because they just genuinely enjoy shooting guns that much. And there's some people that bow hunt that would never can ever consider picking up a gun. So it's just whatever you enjoy. If it's 200, I'll shoot it with anything. I'll shoot it with an atlatl if I had to.
That'd be cool.
Blow dart.
Yeah. Tim Wells out of the stock tank. Just the eyes. The monkeys have spotted my eyes. Have you guys seen those videos? Yeah. Yeah. They seem to be on to me. I love those ones.
He's an animal himself.
Oh, yeah, he is. Kyle Ford Outdoors said, I shot a 180s with my shotgun, then shot a 140s with my bow. I always tend to talk more about the 140s opposed to the 180. The story was a lot more intense. Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on the story, too.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I would shoot a 180s with anything, but yeah. The mystical flight of the arrow is something that entrances everyone.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
In your blood.
Pretty neat.
Vincent Stratton said, filling tags. That's what it's all about.
Amen, Vincent.
Vincent's got the right attitude on him. That's right. We don't got any more questions. What do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, let me check. I got something on Instagram. Let me pull it up again.
Okay. If you guys let me sit here long enough, my chair is going to fall apart.
Fishing Whisper said, how are you guys doing? Doing great, dude.
Doing fantastic.
Fantastic, I guess. That's my word. Yes. You stole my word. I say fantastic.
Do you say that all the time?
All the time.
I've never
heard myself saying it. No, when people ask me how you doing, I'm always like, fantastic.
Better not deserve.
I said it again. So, yeah.
So, Christian, you drawn out somewhere this year or what, dude?
I have my fingers and all 12 of my toes crossed. You guys didn't know, but I have two big toes on each foot, which is actually kind of sick for climbing trees and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. No, I hope to draw a New Mexico tag. That's the goal. I'll know about that in like mid-April. So I'm hoping for that. Just put in for Colorado. It was crazy. So just through That's a fun. Weird like circumstance. Like this dude that I met, Rick, what was his name? Tanner or something like that, is taking me.
Tanner Rust?
Yeah. That might be him.
Like, all right. Him.
That might be him. It fully guided mule deer and elk combo.
Is it?
Yeah. So
I'd be like, all right, listen, where's Tanner Rust at?
Did you see me?
Yeah.
Tim?
Pull out all the grit, old grit knife. No. Dude, I'm putting in for Colorado, Wyoming, put in for New Mexico, and I'm also going to put in for Montana. What are you guys putting? Taylor, you better put in. Did you put in today?
I got till 9.
Better hurry up. 7:40.
Did you already put in for Montana?
I have not. I'm buying points. That's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. I was about to say it was yesterday. Was
yeah, no,
deer and elk, I think.
Yeah, I'm buying points. I'm not gonna.
Okay.
I think the point deadline for is the bonus points you can buy July 1st to September 30th. So it was yesterday.
How much are those? I was about to say.
So preference point for the combo license is $100 for the bonus points. I'm not sure what the bonus points cost, but I'm sure it's cheaper than putting in. So I'm going to buy bonus points. And then I'm doing the same thing with Wyoming. It's just buying points.
Yeah.
Just stacking them points up.
Where's the prison media tonight?
I think.
Yeah, Greg, from Instagram said that he thinks the Colorado big game draw ends in a few minutes.
It ends at 8 Mountain Time.
What time is it right now?
They're an hour behind us.
So it should end at 9 our time.
Dang, Taylor's on it, dude. He's on it.
I got all mine in except for Abby's. She wants to put in for a couple.
Well, it's a drawing, so if you wait until the last minute, yours gets on top, and they don't really shake.
It's like a name in a bucket kind of thing. Yeah.
So they don't really shake it. So you have a better chance if you're up top reaching out the bottom.
You're getting a what, Gunner?
A Rocky Mountain.
Bighorn. You're getting one of those tags?
Oh, there's no way.
Do you buy a point in Colorado if you don't draw it?
So, yeah. We have been. So this year we should be in the running, but there's no way. I'm just going to tell you, we're not going to win nothing. Well, we're not going to win none of the goats or the moose. I'm proud of myself this year. I think we'll draw a pronghorn or a deer or both. I don't think we'll draw an elk this year. I really hope my grandpa draws a deer. Cause then we'll go elk hunt when he's deer hunting. But my goal this year was to get a goat tag for me and my dad. So we're going to see.
How many points do you have?
For pronghorn?
For goat. Oh, a goat. Like you're saying.
I meant pronghorn.
Oh, I was like, yeah. Damn. How many points you got? We haven't played no, in since I was negative 8 months old.
Yeah.
We should have. That's, yeah.
When my son, if I've I have a son, like I'm doing points. That. You got like five, you said?
I've got like 5 pronghorn points, I think it's 4. But so I set myself up to draw a second choice because that's the game, you know, now is to draw second or third choice and keep your dadgum point. Because if you draw your first choice, you lose your points. If you draw your second and third, you don't.
So what states is it that do that? I was listening to another podcast talking about that.
I don't know what other states do. I put in other states. I just don't know. I know Colorado is like that for a fact.
Okay, that's good to know.
So I strategically put something that was going to be hard to draw for my first choice. But if I drew it, I'd be happy to lose my points or whatever.
Right.
But the second, third, and fourth choices I had set up to where it was like very feasible to draw.
So, heck yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
You say that, but any anything that a youth is in, youth gets mandatory pick over any adult. So say if they do second option and there's 5 tags for second auction option, and there's 5 adults, 5 kids, all 5 kids get all those tags. I just learned that. Yeah,
is that for the second option or the secondary draw?
Well,
I know it's like that for the secondary draw too. I was more asking if it was for second choice too. Also,
well, yeah, if there's a second choice kid there before you, they're going to get it.
I think kids should really quit applying. It's not good for the sport.
It's kind of weird.
I'm just kidding.
Get your kids.
We had a few more questions rolling. Greg from Instagram said, "Topic: How thermals have changed the way people hunt. What methods do hunters utilize?" What methods do hunters utilize this technology for increasing their success? How thermals have changed the way people hunt. This is interesting. What do you guys think about that?
Thermos have only changed the predator and hog hunting side. I mean, we can't hunt big game for a reason.
What you're talking about.
But I mean,
we can't kill deer with thermal. That's weird.
I mean,
Razor got a state record with the thermal.
Yeah, you guys give it. If you guys give it another 10 years, I mean, the coyote's going to be so hard to harvest because, you know, used to, you could, they were only called during the day. So it's kind of been a little harder for time or at times. Now they're getting called day and night, and you have the people using the same calls, the same sounds, running the same things. And here pretty quick, they're going to start learning and be more educated, and it's going to be harder to harvest. So I don't really. Did he ask how it's changing, or I forgot?
How thermals have changed the way people hunt.
I mean, it just made people go hunt, be able to hunt at dark. I mean, for hogs, and which I'm totally for it for hogs. I mean, they're absolutely destroying places. So, I mean, you got to beat them at their own game, and they come out at night a lot. So, but predator hunting, I mean, yeah, I guess you can say they're destroying, but I enjoy it so much. I don't see it a turn. And I do have a thermal myself, but I enjoy calling them in the daytime because it's a little harder, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So
I just don't like during the summer that the velvet in the bucks shows up in the thermals. I feel like that gives people it's a little more temptation for
they
people
show up, rolling around. Show up regardless.
Not when they're hard-horned.
Yeah, they do.
You can still see the antlers as clear as you can see them in the summer.
Not as clear. There's more blood, more heat in them during the summer, but you can see what they are.
You can see how educated I am on thermals. I've just seen a lot of the videos.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. You can see trees. You can see, like, I can see everything in my thermal, okay? Well, the antler is attached to a heat source, so they're going to be a little warmer than anything around them. So, yeah, they're going to show up because the thermal is just nothing but temperature.
Greg said thermal technology, monoculars included. Yeah, I don't have a monocular.
I don't monocular. Either. This is a Taylor question through and through. Now, you know, you see people go run out there and they'll, you know, there's been an uptick in the videos you see with the hogs, with the thermals and stuff like that, which that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, dodging out there.
Huh?
Okay, we're back. I was like, nothing. But, you know, I've seen an uptick in that, like as far as videos being put out and stuff. And it's a positive on the hog side because of the invasiveness part of it. But I don't have a ton of just experience running a thermal like someone like Taylor might have. So,
yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, this is changing the game as people are able to do it. I mean, it's definitely in our area put a big damper on the hog population, which is great because, like I said, they're doing damage. But, I mean, 2-3 years ago, Gunner and I could go out any given night and kill, you know, 10, 15 hogs if we wanted to. And now we literally had two on camera between us all year. And usually it's like we had 30, 40, 50. So, yeah, it's changing stuff like that. I don't think it's ever going to change big game. If they start letting you hunt with thermals for big game, then it's just going to cut into a lot of the fun that we have. That's kind of what?
That's not, that'd be no fun at all hunting a deer.
I know. I'd be like, okay, yeah, there he is. I don't know. I just like the aspect of having to be out there and pick them apart versus the thermal pretty much finds it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hunter Simmons said CJ Alexander and Charles Beatty collaboration. I don't know. It might be the collab of the century. We don't know if CJ's a poacher or not, though.
Yeah, so. I know. I put that video up today on a shorts and made a guy mad. And I was just like, he was like, how, his exact words were like, how are you, or why are you validating another POS poacher? We don't know he's a poacher. And that's what's wrong with the world. Once again, we hear a story. The guy has a lawsuit against him. There's a lawsuit against him to see if he is or isn't. Just because there's a lawsuit doesn't mean he is. I mean, he can come out free. But if he does that, then, you know, I mean, then he deserves to get. He deserves
an apology.
And probably sue for what people have done to his name. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens. I think it's funny to joke about it because people get so worked up, but. That's just my sense of humor.
Well, heck, I sent you that video of the White Toe Freaks guy. He went out and harvested a big muley.
Oh, muley freak? And,
yeah, Eric, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in trouble right now, or he was. I think they got it figured out. But the landowner came back on him and said, I didn't give you permission. And he's got his daughter that took pictures of him talking to the landowner or whatever, getting permission. He shot that big mule deer, and a conservation officer came out, and it was a whole big deal. He was trying to get a hold of the DA. The DA wouldn't respond back to him. And when they got to court, he was just trying to send him the pictures and everything to show that he did talk to the landowner and the proof of it. And the DA wouldn't respond to him. Nobody would give him the time of day to defend himself. And then he got to court, and they upgraded the misdemeanor up to a felony. And they tried to really hammer him. And I think he ended up getting everything dropped eventually whenever he actually showed them everything in court and everything. But he had a $250 disturbing the peace ticket. That's it. But that's just an example of like how that thing can get, how something can get blown up when he, you know, when nothing was done that was, you know, wrong, really.
Yeah, but, and I don't know the truth behind this, and I think me and you talked about this, right, Christian?
Mm-hmm.
There's people out there saying there's a lot of stuff that guy's done. So it's not like it was one instance, but I don't know. I mean, obviously he's not guilty there, or they were already against him and he wasn't, but so I don't know. I wish I knew, like I said, the whole story on all of it and the whole thing on CJ, which I think everything will come out eventually on CJ. But I'm like, how's it taking this long? You know, why is it taking this long? Like, it's almost taken long as like a murder scene. And I'm like, what's
it's going obviously on? Not as closed as case closed as people want to think it is. That's what's happening. Okay, let's hit this. Let's hit this last question from Zach. Zach said, Are y'all only going into certain stands on perfect wins that are in your favor or more when they are half in your favor, half in the deer favor? That's a good question.
I always try to, well, I'm a big proponent of playing your wind. I have my favorite stands, of course, that I've hunted, you know, year in and year out. I will hunt marginal winds if I think I can get away with it. I'm not going to hunt a wind that's just dead over, you know, where I know they're going to come out of. That's just not going to happen. I'll hunt marginal winds in places if I think I can get away with it. But if I think a deer is going to come straight down my wind, I'm just like, if I think it's a good possibility, I'm not going to do it. But if I think I can get away with it, and obviously the perfect wind, I'll hunt it. But if I think I can get away with the wind, then I'll especially if I'm hunting a deer that I really want to harvest or really want to see, I will.
What do you think, Taylor? All right, Taylor glitched.
No, sorry. I definitely watch the wind. I mean, you got to watch the wind. Those deer's know the deer's number one tools, their nose and ears. Uh-huh. So, I mean, one of them's number one, one of them's number two, but I'm going to act like both of them are number one. And part of that is you're not going to want to be smelt. And if you're smelt, then more than likely you're going to lose any hope. So I don't really mess with if it's marginal. There was one time I did and it played out in my favor, but there's been plenty of other times growing up that it didn't work out in my favor if it was marginal. So I just stay away. It's not worth it. I mean, if I spook out my big deer and my neighbor gets it, then I'm gonna feel like a fool. I'd rather him just stay there until it's the right time.
This one's interesting. I've had some situations where you hear people, especially in the Midwest, talking about giving a buck the wind, like giving him a preferable wind where he can access where he wants to go, whether that's a food plot or a bedding area or whatever. And I've had good luck on those sort of semi-marginal wins where it's like he could get me, but he has to really get more towards me. And I like hunting those wins because I feel like I see mature bucks just using those. Like when I have a wind that's perfect for me, it's typically not perfect for that buck. Like one of my favorite stands is a north wind location, and it's a pretty terrible spot for deer to come from. Like they would have to come from the parking lot basically to come use the wind and access it. So I'll use those somewhat marginal wins sometimes. It just depends what kind of buck you got in there and how frisky you're wanting to get. So I will risk it for the biscuit sometimes.
Hey,
here's some. Do what?
So there's
I'll risk it for the biscuit. Yeah, Tyler. So Tyler Jones on Instagram said, "Do you guys need a lease partner?" I think Gunner and Taylor are both looking for lease partners.
Yeah, if you find the place and buy and lease it, we'll come up and fill your feeders and hunt it for you. It's a great, a great partner deal we found that works.
Yeah, Tyler, I'm trying to get on that Texas lease that you and KC got. So hit me up on that. And then the Element said, "Will you shoot a frontal? Will you guys shoot a frontal with a bow on a deer?" What do you guys think?
Yeah, if he's 20 years, geez, if he's 20 yards and standing there, I'd have to. If there's no other option, I'd have to think about it.
Gunner, would you shoot a frontal? You've already got a statement.
I'm going to say I would if it was the perfect scenario. I would not rush a frontal if I thought, you know what I mean? Like if it was like, oh, I got to throw it up there. I'm probably not doing it then. But if it was like a scenario where he was, like Taylor said, stationary, just kind of sitting there, you get a nice draw, you're feeling good. Yeah, I think I would take that shot.
I've been looking for 2 years for a reason to shoot a frontal. Like I've been waiting for does to like blow at me and then, you know, look straight at me for a frontal. And I still haven't got the opportunity to shoot one, like one dead at me where I've been able to get in the full draw. I want to. I know I have the arrow set up for it and I know I could do it, but I think the dream scenario for a frontal would be like 150 inch buck runs in, stops like 7 yards and looks up and you're already in full draw and you're like,
Yeah.
So, but I haven't had one of those happens. I haven't had one of those like Ben Rising whitetail edge moments where a 180 comes in and stops at 7 yards and looks up. I would love to though. I'd love to try a frontal shot. I think they're very ethical, especially at close ranges, but I just haven't had the opportunity to do it.
I mean, it makes sense. There's a lot of lined up stuff to be able to knock one down.
Well, and if you get any penetration at all, you're in the goods.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
pretty quick.
And it's all lined up. I mean, there's a wall of directions it can go or, you know what I mean? And if you miss this, there's something right behind. If you miss that, I don't know. I mean, I don't think you're not going to sink your arrow all the way down in it to the knock. But if you did,
I am.
Yeah. There's a guy that did one that shot a elk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Starling's got that. It's got Taylor whipped right now. Dang, Taylor, why the long?
What does?
Yours paused on like a face where you were like,
y'all's paused too.
What were you saying? There was an elk shot frontal.
Yeah, and the arrow came out like stuck out by its back hip, and that thing was down fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of goodies right there. It's just the. Every hunter's worst nightmare, it gets into the insert and you got 30 inches of arrow hanging out. You're like, no.
I was like, mine. I didn't do a frontal, but I almost did. I don't know what you call it.
Texas heart shot?
Yeah, right through the hip and it went up the body. And I mean, he ran 15 yards.
Yeah. Francis H said, hey, dudes. Hey, Francis. What's going on? All right.
Do you see what Justice said?
Yeah.
Justice on your Instagram?
No, what she said earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, boys, you got big game draw. I got podcast edit. What do you guys think?
I got a podcast edit and I got that license to be in. So I mean
two Tuesdays from now. We'll see you guys for an extra long.
Tuesdays. Between then and now, I'm sure we'll all have a podcast out. So definitely check those out. Like ours will be on all Outdoor Defiance and theirs will be on Hunter's Advantage. We don't ever get those crossed, so you don't got to worry about that. We have a turkey hunt out. What else is going to happen in 2 weeks? I feel like there's something else.
Well, that's up in the air. About OFO.
Turkey season.
Well, turkey season, yeah. Turkey season in 2 weeks, but we might be helping out with another veteran hunt. Be watching out for that.
So, and then HA will put out a couple new podcasts.
I can't stop on this one. Francis H said, "I eat plants, but if a guy hunts for his food without buying processed kills, I can really respect that." That's what we do, Francis.
Yes.
We have the cojones to go kill it ourselves and eat it ourselves, and it's delicious.
Francis, I respect you because you should respect us too, because we're helping you, because we're not letting our meat eat your favorite source. So it's a two-way street right here. So we respect on both sides. Absolutely. At least you're not a hater.
I respect you for saying that you respect us. And we're gonna keep the deer off your plants. Don't you worry. But yeah, go check out Outdoor Defiance. Check out the podcast. You guys got episodes coming out, what, every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday. If we get booked up, we might start releasing 2 days a week. However, we are going to start releasing all of our lives every, I think, Saturday or Friday for like a bonus. So if you guys missed one, don't worry. You can check them out there. If you haven't subscribed to either side, then go do it. When you're missing out. Now.
That's right. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you all not next Tuesday, but the one after, April 16th, 6:30 CST for the HA and OD Live. But with that, we'll catch you guys in the next one.